next presenter is Angelia L. Seffer. She is from University of Delaware.
Good morning. Thanks for sticking around for the session. I know it's already feels like the end of the conference, and it's only Tuesday morning, at least for me anyway. So I'm going to switch gears a little bit where we still stay focused in the rhizosphere and talk about arsenic cycling and rice paddies and a little bit of the work that we're doing on looking at that plant-soil interface. So I just want to emphasize, I'm not going to dwell too much on this. We know that arsenic is a poison, and it's toxic to humans. It's also toxic to plants. And so anything we can do to decrease how much arsenic is either mobilized in soil or taken up by the plants will benefit global food security. Rice is a staple food for half the global population. And when arsenic impacts grain yield, there's not enough food. Also, when arsenic is taken up and stored in grain, it can provide a source of dietary arsenic exposure. So understanding how arsenic makes its way into the plants allows us then to come up with ways to mitigate the uptake. So that's why we're going to focus this talk on some of the mechanisms. So as arsenic is mobilized in flooded soil, it happens because of reductive dissolution of iron oxides that's mediated by soil microbes under reducing conditions, where arsenic that's sorbed onto those minerals is released into the pore water and also can get reduced to arsenic 3, which is more mobile. Another set of microbes can then methylate that arsenic to mono or dimethylated forms, which are also taken up by plants, and that can then further be methylated to forms that maybe are volatile and then escape from the system. So we're trying to tease apart the mechanisms for why this occurs and under what conditions it occurs. But what I want to emphasize with this slide is that we are concerned about arsenite, so the reduced form of inorganic arsenic, as well as DMA. Those are the two primary arsenic species that we'd find in pore water. There's also some arsenic 5, although not as abundant in flooded rice paddies. So here's my view of the rhizosphere. So we have mobilized solutes in pore water and are making their way, migrating to the plant root surface with transpirational water flux. There's also interesting things that happen in the rhizosphere of flooded rice, because those roots still need oxygen for root respiration. So some of this oxygen, the oxygen is transported from the atmosphere down into root tissue through parenchyma. Some of that oxygen can leak out, precipitate with reduced iron, and form an iron plaque, which would be on the surface of the root. Can you see my mouse? Yeah, okay. So here's our iron plaque, which can sorb, I'll just use the mouth, thank you, which can sorb some of that mobilized arsenic. But there are certainly areas of the root that don't have this iron plaque coating. We've done some work on that. So certainly we're concerned about arsenic 3 and DMA making their way into rice by bypassing iron plaque. Those two constituents look chemically similar to dissolved silicon, and so it turns out that they share those transporters, which there's been a lot of work done, really nice work done, on understanding where those transporters are located. So they are located on the Casparian band, which I've sort of cartooned right here. This is a very superized zone, and it should come on this side too. It's not showing it here, where we have LSI1 transporter and LSI2 transporter, and these two transporters function to make it very efficient for plants to take up silicon. And as a result, because arsenic 3 and DMA look chemically similar, they also take up those two constituents. And so we know they're localized to that Casparian band. There's also arsenic 5. It's a phosphate analog, so it gets taken up through phosphate transporters. But we're going to be looking mostly at arsenic 3, because that's the form that we tend to find in highest concentration in the pore water. So one of the things that I want to point out is while we know that these silicon transporters are localized to the Casparian band, what happens when we start looking at differences in root morphology as a function of distance away from the root tip? So what this cartoon shows, where we have sort of mature root portions, we have very defined Casparian bands. And they function by not allowing just passive flow of solutes to enter the vascular tissue and then be taken up into the shoots of the plants. But in areas that are newly developing, so near the root tip and in this area, the cap-carrying bands are not fully developed. And so in those zones, could they be areas where we can see arsenic 3 being taken up without the aid of these transporters? And another area where that could happen is also at lateral root junctions. So these lateral roots come off of a primary root, emerging from that vascular bundle or the steel, and it essentially breaks the cap-carrying band right there. So we know that those areas are important for silicon uptake, and when we started this work, we didn't really know if they would take up arsenic 3 as well. So we're just wondering, could this be another reason why plants take up arsenic 3? Some of the motivation for this work stems from some older work that I had done with transmission X-ray microscopy. So this is a rice root here in panel A, and what we observed was strong attenuation of the X-ray beam in the root tips. And unfortunately, this technique doesn't tell you what elements they are. It's not element specific, but we know either there's something heavy or there's something in great abundance here, and probably a mixture of elements. And we wanted to know what that was. And interestingly, if we take these virtual cross-sections like you see here in D and E, we see that whatever this is distributed throughout the root tip. So we were curious, is this arsenic? Is this iron? You know, what is this? So by using X-ray fluorescence imaging, we can now look at element-specific localization. And so over here in this very pixelated rough map, I have arsenic distribution on a root that was from a plant grown in soil, in flooded soil. And what you can barely see here in the very, very tip is this pink color. And you'll see here this is arsenic concentration. The pink color is the highest concentration in this map. We can zoom in and make more fine detailed maps, which I'm showing here. And here's iron. And so we see that there is some iron and pretty high concentration in the root tips. We see that there's arsenic 3 and very little arsenic 5. So we do see arsenic 3, some iron, but this doesn't tell us whether that arsenic 3 is maybe sorbed onto plaque that's on the outside of the roots or in the root interior. So we wanted to explore that more. So to make things easier on ourselves, we did this hydroponic experiment where it makes it a little bit easier to sample the root tissue, but we're still making our nutrient solution, trying to simulate the pore water chemistry. And we're giving them about almost 7 micromolar arsenic 3 for about 6 weeks exposure. And we take that tissue and slam freeze it in after embedding in freezy media, where we have copper blocks that are bathing in liquid nitrogen. And that slam freezing technique allows for preserving that ultrastructure without forming ice crystals. And then we can take that to a cryostat and do cryosections, 10 micron thick cryosections. And here we did mirror images where we have one slice that we put on a quartz slide, and we can take that to the synchrotron and do our elemental distribution maps, and then another section on a glass slide where we can stain that with a stain that would enhance those cap-carrying bands and look at that with confocal microscopy. So I'm going to show you these mirror images. So here, just to sort of orient us, again, this is not the same route, but just in general, where we saw this distribution of arsenic 3 in the root tips, this is what that kind of zone would look like. So it's a function of distance from the root apex. This is 140 microns from that apex. And here in the upper portion, we have 500 micron from that apex where we don't see high concentrations of arsenic 3. And here we can see that the cap-carrying bands are illuminated, so we know that they're there, whereas in this area we don't see them being illuminated. If we look at the elemental distribution of here we have iron in green and arsenic 3 in red. You can see this sort of ring of iron around the vascular bundle with some arsenic 3 in the vascular tissue. We look at the colocalization also with sulfur, because the arsenic 3 could be bonded with sulfur or could be free. And unfortunately, we didn't take enough images to know, or enough energies to know if that was the case. So it could be combined with sulfur or free. In this case, it looks like it's probably a mixture of the two. But importantly, when we look at this root tip, what we see is this distribution of arsenic 3 throughout the root tip. So it tells us that it's not associated with iron clock on the outside, but it's actually getting into the root. Now, whether it's taken up and accessing the metaxylem, we're not sure, but it's certainly a possibility, and maybe that explains why we see some arsenic here in the vascular bundle, just a little bit higher up in that same root. So this is sort of a nice summary of what these roots look like and what the different tissues will tell us. So again, we're sort of, this is from a nice review article that was published last year, but where we see that sort of high concentration of arsenic 3, it could be accessing the metaxylem and then being transported up. Now, I mentioned earlier about these lateral roots, and these are pretty cool because they come out of the steel and sort of push out and break those Casparian bands open. And what that allows for then is any oxygen that's being transported through parenchyma can leak out and provide some really interesting things to explore. So these are roots where we grew them in soil, and what we observed was this is a root grown in soil. It didn't have distinct iron plaque that we could see, but everywhere where we have a lateral root sticking out, we have a concentration of iron, and there are these sort of little cute rust dots along when you look at the just optical image of it. So we wanted to focus in on one of these areas and see what's going on in more detail. So here's the iron distribution, and I'll orient you here. Here's the steel, so this is the vascular bundle. So the iron is precipitating. It's not reaching all the way to that vascular tissue. This is what the arsenic 3 looks like. So it's actually getting all the way to that vascular bundle. And the arsenic 5 is in lower concentration and not making its way there. And it's much easier to see if we combine all these images in a tricolor plot where we see that the arsenic 3 is getting into that vascular bundle, and some of it is co-localized with arsenic 5 and iron, but a lot of it is getting in. And it's easier to see that if we overlay, instead of iron, we overlay potassium, because the potassium is here in that vascular bundle, and the arsenic 3 is almost like it's being delivered right to that xylem and then where it can be taken up into the plant. And if we overlay our sulfur map, we see clearly that there's very little association with sulfur here, so this is likely free arsenic 3 that's just being delivered right there to the vascular bundle. So in summary, we show some evidence that we suggest we should explore some of these areas that don't have these developed Casparian bands that could be a root of some percentage of arsenic uptake as arsenite, although probably likely a small contribution. As we were publishing this paper, another group showed that there's actually transporters located in these lateral root junctions that could be responsible for this arsenite delivery that we see to the vascular tissue. So that's exciting, sort of corroborated our images here. So again, just sort of putting this back into the broader context, knowing a little bit more about how arsenite gets into plants will allow us then to develop some management tools, and probably explains why if we were to knock out all the known silicon transporters, we're still getting arsenite uptake into the plant, probably through some of these areas and maybe others that we just haven't explored yet. So with that, I would really like to acknowledge my co-authors on this paper, Sam Webb and Jean Ross. Their expertise was instrumental in getting this work completed, so I can't thank them enough. And also just like to acknowledge my pretty awesome lab group for being great and funding. And I'll take any questions. So, thanks.
Any question?
Jackie. That's a great question. So the question was, how does the uptake differ with pH? So in the flooded rice paddy, whether you start, say, at a soil pH of 6, as you flood the rice paddy, it's going to go to pretty neutral pH pretty quickly. If you're a little bit more basic, it's going to come down to be neutral. So typically, the pH would be pretty circumneutral. So, but at like pH 6 to 9, we're going to have arsenic 3 as arsenic acid and silicon as silicic acid. So they're going to be fully protonated. And that's part of the reason why their uptake is easier than, say, arsenate, which would not be protonated at that pH. Yeah.
Can I have one more question?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for a very interesting talk. I have two questions. One, can you just talk about the concentrations that you're able to detect in the roots in terms of the detection limits? And then secondly, I've heard the iron plaque described as a way for preventing, the arsenic uptake in the rice, but then also as a reservoir for arsenic for future uptake. So can you address that?
Yeah, so I'll address your second question first. So the question is about iron plaque. It can attenuate, but it can also be a source. And that's something that I've been emphasizing for a long time. I don't think that we can rely on iron plaque to be the thing that decreases arsenic uptake, because clearly we have arsenic being taken up into plants that have iron plaque on them. And so some of the work that we've done in the past showed that when we look at the distribution of iron plaque, it doesn't coat the roots fully. And so some of the work that were done in, say, like hydroponic systems where you induce iron plaque formation, you're basically just painting iron oxide onto the root surface. So, of course, it looks like it's coating everything. But in a soil environment, that doesn't happen. So I agree with you. Under Noriko Yamaguchi showed that if you have these series of flooding draining cycles, say that would happen with alternate wetting and drying, then you have this concentrated source of arsenic in the direct vicinity of the root, which would be a bad news, right, for plant uptake. So I fully agree with your comment. In terms of the concentration, so, I mean, when we are looking at total concentration of arsenic in root tissue, we'll do digestions and then analyze that with ICP-MS. But for this technique, we're looking at concentrations that are like on the picogram per cubic micron. So it's hard to kind of translate that back into a, you know, PPT concentration. But we're able to see pretty low levels. But we're, even with these levels, you know, we're not sort of hugging the detection limit here, because otherwise we just see black. We wouldn't see anything.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.